Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Jingle Bells, Boxing Day, Off Menu Podcast. Hello.
Very good, Ed. Hello.
Hello, James. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast Christmas special on the most Christmassy of days, Boxing Day.
It doesn't get more Christmassy than Boxing Day.
It is the peak of Christmas. Quick explanation of the podcast. Have we got new seasonal listeners, James?
We're going to be asking our guests their favourite ever starter, main course, side, drink and dessert. And today's guest is Nish Kumar.
Nish Kumar is here for the Christmas special. Very exciting.
And he is a special boy. He's special in our hearts. He's our friend. And so who better to have on the special than our special friend, Nish?
Now, every week on the Off Menu Podcast, we have a secret ingredient.
Yes. And if the guest says the secret ingredient, we will kick them out of the magical restaurant.
And the secret ingredient for the Christmas special is...
gold.
It's gold. So will Nish put gold in any of his meals?
I hate whenever you see on a fancy cooking show
and
some newbie upstart puts some gold flake or something on a dessert or something like that, and you know it tastes of nothing and it's such a waste of gold. It's so stupid that they're doing it. I'm sick of it. I want it out. And obviously, it's Christmas Eve because of gold, frankincense and myrrh. That's why we've included it in this.
I'm going to put it out there. I think it's unlikely that Nish will put gold on any of his dream courses.
I've not seen him eating gold much. No. And, you know, he knows that it doesn't go with his brand to come on this and go, I want to eat loads of gold on my Christmas dinner.
I want a bit of gold on my blood diamonds.
Yeah.
So that's Nish laughing in the background. He's supposed to be keeping quiet.
Also, on this episode, it bears saying that Nish is going to be choosing his favourite Christmas meal.
Yes.
Because it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Now, if you've not subscribed to this, bloody subscribe to it and leave it a review. But now, let's crack on with the main meaty topics of
Nish
the podcast.
Kumar.
Of the Nish Kumar on the podcast. Bon appetit. Oh, Nish Kumar.
Hello.
Green Giant. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. All of that.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Nishmas.
What was that?
Me appearing.
Is that Christmassy? You appearing suddenly?
Yeah. I'm a genie.
What a Christmas genie?
Yeah, Christmas genie. That's why I'm covered in tinsel right now.
I'm glad I've got Nish here now because me and Nish will very much occupy the same brain space on this. I can just take a break and let Nish have a go at you for deciding to be a genie, let alone a Christmas genie, which is not a thing.
Also, I've very much added Christmas genie to try and rationalise what he could possibly be doing.
Yeah.
No, he's a genie waiter in this podcast.
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
Fair enough. Genie waiter in this podcast, and now I'm a Christmas genie waiter.
What makes you a Christmas genie?
I'm covered in tinsel, I've got a Santa hat on.
Yeah.
And I came out of a stocking.
Give out a stocking.
Someone rubbed a stocking and you came out.
Yeah, so I rubbed a stocking and I came out of it.
That doesn't happen when I rub a stocking.
Well, yeah. Very blue.
Wait, early doors. Very blue early doors.
Hey, come on.
Can I just ask, do you have the stocking over your dick? Is that what you're implying?
No, that has to be... Oh. Sorry, they're having a fucking Christmas party outside.
Mum and dad have arrived for Christmas.
Oh, no, they've caught me rubbing a stocking.
It's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like.
I was trying to fuck it.
I'm trying to push the presents in deeper.
I was wearing the stocking because I was imagining my leg was a lady's leg. thank you for coming on the podcast, Nish. Welcome,
no problem,
welcome
guys.
To the Christmas restaurant.
Ah, the lovely Christmas restaurant.
It's a magical restaurant. That's why I'm a genie, Nish.
TGI Christmas.
Yes.
TGI Christmas, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
You can call it whatever you like.
TGI Christmas.
You can, thank God that it's Christmas.
Yeah. That's true.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, well, not God's birthday.
Well, I don't understand your monotheistic nonsense.
I'll explain it to you quickly. As a genie, I'm very learned in the ways of Christianity, because genies are a Christian thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your understanding of Aladdin is very interesting to me.
John the Baptist was a genie, wasn't
John
he?
He was a genie. Yeah. John the Genie Baptist. He used to be called John the Genie. I know he started baptizing people. He thinks, oh, I want to be called John the Baptist. Yeah. Everyone's like, okay, but it kind of glosses over the whole fact that you're a genie, though. It's like, yeah, I know, but I feel like baptizing is my main thing now.
My true calling.
And if anyone writes a book about this sort of time period, can they leave out the genie stuff?
Leave out the genie.
Don't say I'm a genie in the book.
I'm trying to leave all that behind me.
Okay, well, I'll try and put it in the subtext, though. I think people need to. Hopefully, people will pick up on it. Because you are a genie. So, yeah, Jesus' birthday, Nish.
It is Jesus' birthday.
And God doesn't have a birthday. But they're technically the same person.
Sure.
Are they?
Them and the Holy Spirit.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yeah.
It's all one.
Why is that true? Why do you not know anything about Christianity?
Well, I do, but I think I was always taught that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit were the same, but then other people have told me different, that Jesus is literally God's son.
Listen, lads, what you want to do is get a whole bunch of gods. Some of them blue, some of them have weapons.
Yeah. Some blue like Ed.
Not blue like Ed. Blue like literally they're blue.
There's not a...
There's not a saucy Hindu god.
Yeah.
There's not a Hindu god who's like, ooh-er.
Only Benito heard that. That was a shame.
What did you say?
You said not blue like Ed, literally blue. And I said, like me, because I'm a genie.
Oh, for God's sake.
So there's not a blue like.
No, there isn't like
Hindu god.
There's no like carry on Hinduism.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think it's all great.
I don't have a problem with it. I actually don't have a problem with any of it.
Yeah, I have a problem with any of it. Want to go on record saying that on Christmas?
Look, and this is the Christmas special, but you know, we should probably call it the seasonal special.
Yeah.
No, I don't call it that, because if we call it that, then all the right wingers will start moaning. We're not allowed to say Christmas anymore. You can't even say Christmas.
Well, they can. I'm just choosing not to.
I think if you were trying to not upset the right wingers, you may have invited the wrong guest on for your
I haven't done any research into Nish, but I think we're in. I think we're fine.
Yeah. I think we're on safe ground.
I think we're in the clear.
Anyway, welcome to the Christmas special. This holiest of holy
Merry Christmas,
white
Mr.
Christian
Robinson.
Festivals.
Good fun. May I take your coat?
Sure.
In the restaurant? Hang it up where in my special genie.
Yeah, do I get a tag? Ring.
Yep, you get a little tag here.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Memorise that. It's not a number, it's a symbol.
Oh, yeah.
Little symbol there.
And he's got to memorise it for some reason.
Yeah, memorise it because
it's not on the tag.
Well, most people accidentally eat the tag at some point during the evening, so I just suggest that they memorise
it. It's two fish jumping out of a box of Frosties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one else has that.
We've got a lot of coats back there, so we really started to run out of symbols.
Yeah.
Triangle went years ago.
This is why a lot of people opt for sort of numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of numbers, in fairness.
Yeah, numbers go on forever, which is what Ed brought up with our initial meeting starting this restaurant. Yeah. But I said to him, so do symbols, and he had no comeback for that.
Yeah.
And now I'm having to remember two fish jumping out of a box of Frosties.
Still, you remembered it. You just said it again.
It happened literally a minute ago.
It's ingrained in your mind.
If I hadn't been able to remember that, it would have suggested some seasonal brain damage.
Yeah. Which, you know, hopefully... will not. Anyway,
my favourite bit of banter is when it dies.
When I realise I can't say something. First of all,
yeah,
we should ask Nish if he's a foodie.
But I think we know that already.
But the listeners, I mean, if we do a podcast about stuff that we know, then the podcast is over now.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think this is what we know about Nish? We only ask Nish stuff that we don't know about him.
Yeah.
Then
this podcast is at a high risk of disappearing up its own backside, given that at various points we have all lived together.
Yes,
sure.
Including one point where we all did live together.
Yeah,
yeah. For 1 month, when I had a broken heart.
James lived on our sofa bed for a month.
Yeah.
Was a wonderful house guest.
He was a wonderful house guest. I mean, the first night was one of the bleakest things I've ever seen, when you ate a whole Domino's pizza.
Yep.
And Ed ate a whole tub of ice cream.
And the thing is, Ed, I was having one of my nights in by myself, which I used to look forward to. I'd make a steak, I'd get a bottle of wine, I'd watch a film, I'd sit up at the table properly and watch a film. No one else was in. You were out, I believe, Nish, at a gig.
Yeah.
And then get a little knock on the door, and it's a little orphan boy. It's very Christmassy, actually. It felt quite Christmassy. It was snowing outside. Little Jimmy Acaster. His crutches, on his crutches, and he was shivering. Said, "Please, Mr. Ed, I've got myself a broken heart. I've already ordered a Domino's to this address. Please let me in." And I have a warm heart, and I let him in from the cold to come and warm his hands on my heart.
Yes.
And I believe you had the Domino's. You maybe had some ice cream as well. Yeah, I believe both. I had to go to the shop at some point and buy myself another bottle of wine.
Yeah, because you needed it to.
Yeah.
Get through the night, get through all the heartbreak I was talking about.
This is how tender James was within the breakup. Is I was watching a film, The Raid, I was watching, and James came over and I paused it and he sat down and we were chatting, and then he looked around at the screen and he was like, "Oh, me and my girlfriend went to see that film."
Oh, yeah. We went to see The Raid and she was like, "It's not going to be violent, is it?" And I said, "I don't think it is." It was really violent. Oh,
it's one of the most violent films I've ever
seen. Yeah. And violent in a new way.
The plot is violent.
Yeah. There's no pause between it. It's violence from wall to wall.
Yeah. So we have all lived together. So we've got to bear that in mind for the listener, that they may not get some of our more sophisticated in-jokes.
So I am a foodie.
Yes.
As we know. I come from a food family. This is a thing I don't know if either of you know. My grandfather used to run restaurants.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. This is brilliant.
My grandfather used to run curry houses in Leicester. He was an accountant when he first moved here from Kenya. And then his dream was to open restaurants. And so he, probably when he was about, I mean, I was about to say when he was much older. On reflection, if I really think about it, probably when he was the age I am now, he quit his job and opened an Indian restaurant.
What was it called?
That's so cool.
I it's one of two. I can never remember the order. He had the one called the Raj and one called the Taj. And he ran those. He moved from one to the other, and then he ran a Greasy Spoon. That was his last job before he retired. He bought a cafe in Leicester, and like it was a proper like...
Called the Garage.
It was called The Garage.
Fully assimilated.
It's full assimilation.
When you said they were called The Raj and Taj, my first thought was Rod and Todd Flanders.
Raj and Taj Flanders.
Well, that's amazing. So you've got, you know, family history and food.
Yeah, it's very much in my, it's very much in my blood. And like, it's one of those things that I think if pushed, my cousin and I and my uncle have always idly talked about the idea of opening a restaurant as being a sort of weird family dream.
What kind of restaurant would it be?
Probably Indian food. Mm. Probably. But which is getting difficult now because the quality of Indian food... We've always had good Indian food in Britain. But at the minute, there's lots of really good stuff. And also there's quite a wide variety of Indian food available.
Yeah, more fusion stuff as well.
More fusion stuff.
Really high-end, like fine dining stuff
which
as well.
Was always the thing that they could never get right. Like high-end, the good Indian restaurants were always the sort of authentic ones. So they're a little bit sort of down and dirty, and usually in areas where there were large sort of population centres for the Asian community. In the last couple of years, there's a couple of restaurants in London, Gymkhana and Trishna, that have really nailed
high-end.
High-end Indian food used to basically be tasteless Indian food. It was just tasteless Indian food in a nice bowl. Yeah. And it was like the food was always garbage. But now they've got high-end Indian food as well. So I think it would be a challenge. But yeah, I mean, that would be a sort of idle dream of mine.
What would you name it?
Well, probably, I mean...
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, I would call it Nicki Minaj.
Well, Raj Taj, and then you need Naj and Marge.
Yeah.
Annoyingly, when you did Maud Flanders and with Arj, it would turn into Marge, which is in the
Simpsons. Yeah, I'd call it the Marge. Due to my love of The Simpsons and Indian food, I'd call it the Raj, the Taj, and the Marge.
M-A-J?
M-A-J.
Lovely. The Raj in Kettering is one of my favourite Indian restaurants. I love it so much. Hometown. I think everyone's got their local hometown curry house that they just love.
Yeah.
And you take other people there, being like, I've got to take you to it. And then they just sit there going, this is the same as most places I've been to.
Yeah.
But because it means more to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's where you discovered all these dishes and grew up.
Where I grew up in Raynes Park, the delivery we got was from the House of Spice.
Yeah.
I always get it from the House of Spice. Absolutely delicious. And I thought, well, it's the House of Spice. That's a name for a restaurant, isn't it? It's like, the House of Spice is a good name. And then I went to eat there once. And it's called the House of Spice because it's literally a house. So it's a residential road. And in the middle of these houses is an Indian restaurant called the House of Spice. Brilliant. I didn't know that restaurant, you could just put a restaurant in the middle of a residential road.
Well, but the first time, one of the first times I spent an extended period of time in Mumbai, my cousin took me to a restaurant that he said was a restaurant. When we arrived there, it was just a shack. Out the back of the Taj in Mumbai, which is the sort of famous ornate hotel. And it's called Buddy Mia's. And it was this bloke who used to work in a restaurant and he was the chef. And the owner of the building was basically like paying him at quite a low wage. And he was like, look, everyone's coming here for my food. I want more money. And the owner was like, no, they love the building. So sling your hook. So he... in one of the greatest pieces of trolling before it was even called that, moved next door, bought a little shack. There's no seating. It's a shack. And he has two dishes and he cooks food on the dishes and it became the hottest restaurant in Mumbai.
Amazing.
Wow.
And people eat off there. So when we went, we pulled up in my cousin's car and this bloke came over and popped the bonnet and put a Coke bottle down, and so it was a flat surface, and we ate off of that like it was a dining table.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool.
The food is insane.
Yeah.
It is absolutely
insane. It's got to be if they're making you eat off your bonnet.
Yeah.
You've got to bring your A game.
And also there's this thing where, like, I think it's because it's been around, it doesn't have quite the same, like, the food is still amazing, but, like, when it first opened, there would be all these, like, Bollywood stars. And sat on, like, picnic furniture in the street.
Yeah,
and it became so popular, they just, like, shut the street. You just can't get cars down there now.
Oh, wow,
but the last
time
I was there was a dispute going on in an art gallery, and the two people were liked his food. That was pretty much the only thing they could agree on. So while the dispute was happening, he basically used the abandoned art gallery, and they put a load of tables in there, and everybody was eating, and we were all being served there. Like, the food is ridiculous.
First of all, Nish, can I get you still or sparkling water?
Still water, please.
Why?
Because I don't feel the need to enhance the taste of water with the sensation of burps.
Right. You very burpy?
Yeah,
I'm asking a question that I know the answer to. I don't know why I'm trying to act like I don't know the answer to this.
I'm very burpy uptown and downtown.
That's the name of your Christmas single. Do you want to promote it now?
Yeah, burpy uptown and downtown.
I'm very burpy brackets uptown and downtown.
Yeah. Sparkling water surely wouldn't cause downtown burpies.
It might do, but
really?
I find the taste of it really pointless. I enjoy a glass of water.
I do not need it
enhanced. The only time I have sparkling water is when there's a tap that dispenses it, because I still regard that as low-level witchcraft. I don't like sparkling water, but when there's a sparkling water tap, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm
that
the same with really the cool. ice cubes out the fridge door.
Yeah, 100%, even on a cold day.
Yeah, wouldn't normally. Yeah, it's just straight into that.
I still have not nailed getting ice cubes out the fridge door without getting them on the floor. I've not done it once. Every time I try and get ice cubes out the fridge door, I get ice cubes on the floor.
Well, you've not nailed getting water out of the jug on this table, because we arrived this morning and you went to pour yourself a glass of water and genuinely got quite a lot of water in the plug.
Yeah. Little tip for everyone. If there is a four-way adapter on a table surface and you need to use a jug you've never used before, don't put the glass just directly next to the four-way adapter and basically pour water directly into the plug sockets. Also, Nish, poppadoms or bread, Nish? Poppadoms or bread?
What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Poppadoms, mate.
Yes, poppadoms, please.
I'm not an animal. I do love a bread.
By the way, Nish, I feel like I should point out, we ask this to everyone.
Yeah. And it's always that choice.
Do you ask it with that ferocity?
Yes, yes. I do.
Right, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do like a bread course, especially when
the ferocity it was asked that to you did sound like some sort of immigration
yeah,
test.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. You say it quickly and then they'll say their first thought, and if they say poppadoms, they're out.
They're out, yeah. some new post-Brexit carb-based immigration policy. I go poppadoms just because I do like bread, and I especially like the bread when they get the vinegar in the middle of the oil, which again is the sort of thing that I'm like, I love. That's a touch that I absolutely love.
Is that witchcraft to you as well, the way that vinegar separates from the oil?
It looks like a ghost. It looks like the...
let me tell you something.
It looks like a... what is it? The End of Fantastic Beasts. He turns into that monster.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You should pick a more popular
franchise.
Tweet
in the show...
I don't think Ed's seen Fantastic Beasts,
the first one.
And I lost interest in it. Yeah. So I'm not sure either of us.
It's not a great touchstone for your balsamic
fair enough,
imagery.
But tweet in the show. Let us know what that monster is in Fantastic Beasts.
Can I also strongly recommend tomato balsamic?
Oh!
My girlfriend bought a bottle of it from a farmer's market where she was there on just... general sort
white
of
lady
white
business.
Lady business. she was there on just some sort of white ladies convention at a farmer's market.
Sure.
And she got some tomato balsamic and it is delicious.
Very nice. That's
really fantastic. Good stuff.
Well, you can have that. You can
well,
have that
I just,
with your poppadoms.
The problem is that I go too hard on the bread, and I find if I go too hard on the poppadoms, it doesn't affect me as much.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anywhere where you have had the best poppadoms you've ever had?
I feel like this is going to be the answer to a lot of questions, but my gran used to make them. She doesn't make them anymore, largely because my mum is like, these are so unhealthy. I cannot continue feeding them. But it's like, there's two different types. So the ones that you get in lots of Indian restaurants are like the flat, thin ones.
The big discos.
The big discos. Yeah. And then there's the other ones, which are like filled with air pockets. And they're more like puris than the kind of flat ones. My grandma used to, when we were kids, fry about 20 of them and then just put them on a plate in the middle of the room and just leave them there. And it was just, we were just constantly, and they would be dripping with grease. And they, as they get fried, they fill up with pockets of air. So it's like, it's really, it's fluffy and crispy.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's delicious. Absolutely lovely. Delicious.
We'll get you a plate of those. Brings us on to the starter, Nish. What would you like to start?
So one of the things that I really associate... So this is going to be my first quite rogue choice.
Yeah.
For Christmas.
Yeah. One of the things I really associate Christmas with is going to Leicester. When I was a kid, my grandparents lived in Leicester, and there used to be... There was a pub called The Owl and the Pussycat round the corner from where my grandparents' house was. And there must have been... I don't know why they did this. On reflection... It must be some sort of like a tax dodge, but they used to have a little shack out the back of the Allen Pussycat where this Pakistani bloke used to cook kebabs, and we used to go there and eat his kebabs, and that was like the start of our Christmas holiday. Uh-huh. It's like eating those kebabs.
You've eaten at a lot of shacks out the back of places.
Yeah, it really is.
He's a shackster.
I'm a shack man. I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
You can eat
that Shackmas.
I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, and the sheet kebabs, like the long thin ones.
Right, and what meat? What
lamb.
So you have some lamb.
Yeah.
What was special about them? Why were they the best ones? You associated it with Christmas?
Yeah, I associate it with my family, I think, more than anything else. I think it's eating at Christmas time is one of the few times where I don't eat in restaurants.
Right, yeah.
Like Christmas is one of the only times. So it's like...
It's a time for family. It's a time for shacks.
It's a time for... Yeah. It's a time for shack-based family trees.
You having any sauce on this?
Yeah, there's tomato and mint chutney.
Oh,
it sounds really good. It's making me so hungry.
I love a good chutney.
Really delicious.
Chutney is one of those... I did not like chutney as a kid. Mainly because the first chutney I had raisins in it.
Right.
Mm. And I was like that with coleslaw for a bit as well. Anything when raisins is in it and it shouldn't be, I don't know, I don't like it.
I don't like raisins in coleslaw.
Yeah. Raisins in rice.
Yeah, yeah.
Real winds me up. And I didn't like the raisins in that chutney, so for ages I was like, I don't like chutney.
Yeah.
Then you have a good tomato chutney.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Amazing.
There's so many different types of chutney as well. Also, in the area of good writing about food, the Salman Rushdie novel Midnight's Children is obviously a great book on a number of different levels, but it's a great chutney book. A lot of that book, surprisingly, given it's one of the most critically acclaimed texts of the late 20th century, a lot of that book is about making chutney. it does a really good job.
After he released that book, there was a fatwa taken out by the salsa industry.
That guy just can't get anything right.
Oh, no, salsa doesn't like me.
Now Big Salsa's after me. I can't believe Big Salsa's on the hunt.
I just wondered about chutney. I thought it was safe. We have every Christmas in my house. We have a starter that I've never met anyone who has this starter every Christmas
day. What is it?
It's half an avocado with
stones
out, and then this prawns and garlic Mary Rose kind of sauce.
Very, very traditional.
Yeah.
Not for Christmas necessarily, but very traditional, like 70s.
Yeah.
Is like it really?
Bernie Inn dish. Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
Like
really?
That's where the stone should be. You put that there.
And that, that sounds
paprika,
delicious.
Some paprika on the top.
Oh, really?
Every Christmas we have it, yeah. And like for years, I didn't see, you know, I wasn't seeing this anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then suddenly avocados came in again and everyone was eating that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
I've never even heard of that. It sounds really good.
Yeah, so it's the sort of thing you'd see in like a 70s cookbook. The sort of stuff that fell out of favour but looks really delicious.
Yeah.
Like the sort of thing you would have in like a carvery or like that sort of British cooking.
Right, okay.
You'd be like, oh, avocados. How harsh.
It's one of those Christmas things now that if my parents stopped doing it, me and my brother and sister would kick off.
Yeah, really kick off.
We'd be so angry about it.
Where's our goddamn prawn avocados?
Yeah, it's like why most people, if they're honest, have stockings way longer than they should.
Yeah.
Because like if the first year your parents goes, well, we're too old for them now, we won't do them. You really kick off about it.
It's the same with my grandma's Christmas ham.
Go
she
on.
Does every year. Phenomenal, massive gammon with just the right amount of fat on it and honey glazed. And it's like, it's not honey glazed actually. It's like brown, it's like this brown sugar glaze. And it tastes so good. And then one year she was like, oh, well, we're not coming down this year to see you for Christmas. So you won't want a ham, will you? I can bring that ham.
Better bring that goddamn ham, Grandma.
So, you're not getting in the door.
In the end, we managed to manipulate a situation where we could go and get a ham from them and bring it back. So my mum's tried to do the ham in the past and we both agreed it just doesn't have the same magic touch.
So did your grandmother make the ham?
Well, the pig, I guess, makes the ham initially. Yeah.
Full credit to the pig.
Full credit to the pig.
Respect to the pig. Yeah, yeah. Respect to the pig.
Everyone just point to the sky. Take a moment to remember the pig.
Happy Boxing Day, everyone. Respect to the pig. But did your nan make the ham at her house?
Yeah,
and then she made it at her house.
I think we just got her to come down slightly earlier in the year.
Yeah.
For something else. And we're like, come down, we'd love to see you.
Clever.
Or just send the ham.
What do you start with in your Christmas dinners? Because, listen, let's face it, Ed Gamble's mother, Anne Gamble.
Great lady.
Yep. Also one of the great roast makers.
She's a great roast maker.
Didn't know that.
Excellent. Excellent roast. But I think everyone considers their mother to be a great roast maker.
Sure.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, mama makes good roast.
So our Christmas days...
Suspicious silence from Nish Kumar there.
Yeah. If Bina's listening to this, you're in so much trouble. Yeah.
Bina doesn't really...
sit there going, oh,
Bina
okay,
did,
my roast.
Did occasionally do a roast, but like Bina's forte is in Indian cooking.
Yeah, she's got other strengths.
She's an absolute wizard. She's really perfected a outstanding lamb curry that she's rocking a lot at the moment.
I always want it. Every time Nish mentions something that his relatives cook, I'm like, please let me eat this, Nish. I've been trying to get myself an invite to Kerala for years. I mean, it's not like I'm hardly being sat on it, dropping in.
You could just pop round there, James. I mean, without wishing to give away too much geographical location, you live alarmingly close to my parents now.
That is true, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd welcome you with open arms.
Yeah.
I would. Anyway, we have ham in the for breakfast on Christmas.
You have ham for breakfast?
Yeah, so we have the ham, fried eggs,
your,
and toast.
Your nan's honey yeah. So nan ham for breakfast.
Nan ham for breakfast nan with breakfast. Fried eggs and toast.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Ham, fried eggs, toast.
Normal sort of Christmas dinner. Turkey, all the trimmings.
Right.
But without a starter, because you've had the ham for breakfast.
Don't have a starter, mate. Although, actually, not true. So we'll have our Christmas dinner at about 3, maybe at around 2, 1.45, 2. We'll have little blinis with smoked salmon and cream cheese on them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of glasses of champagne. And then 3 o'clock, big sit-down.
Yeah.
Christmas roast.
That's what they're called, blinis.
Blinis, oh, yeah. Little
I
pancakes.
Misheard a thing recently. Someone came out of my house and they bought some of them and made some up. I texted her, said, thanks for the blimmies. Just realised that.
Thanks for the blimmies?
Oh, I've only just realised. I don't even get. She didn't even pull me up on it. Oh, no.
Rude. Thanks for the blimmies.
B-L-I-M-M-I-E-S.
Yeah.
So you've gone 2 feet into that. Really? Yeah.
Thanks for the blimmies.
I'm really hard M, not even a blimey.
To be fair, if I brought blimmies to your house and then you said texted me saying thanks for the blimmies, I'd be like, oh, that wacky James A.
People think I'm messing around, right? That's the safety net.
Thank God, people, your brand is weird. It does mean that it covers a lot of your administrative faux pas.
Yeah, but I genuinely thought they were blimmies until Ed just said blimmies. Oh, I just misheard it all night.
So we have blimmies and smoked
Christmas smammon. Blimmies.
Yeah, Christmas blimmies.
Little Crimbo Blimbo.
Crimbo Blimbo.
So yeah, your Crimbo Blimbos, then turkey, and then Christmas pudding.
Right, okay.
Full cheese plate in the evening.
Right.
What's happened?
He knows I don't like cheese plates. Oh, actually, I do like eating cheese and biscuits, but it's not in place of a dessert. And to be fair, you were having a Christmas pudding there, so I'll let that slide.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
He's
mate.
Pushing my buttons and he knows it. Early doors, it's only the start. I'm just pushing my buttons.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
For your main dish, a main course.
Okay, so the last few years, normally I'm often in India for Christmas.
Yeah.
But when I'm here and I have a full whack Christmas dinner, my cousin normally makes Christmas dinner and he insists on making goose,
right,
which everyone was a bit down on from the beginning because you're like, let's have turkey. I'm here to tell you, I'm a goose convert.
Yeah.
Christmas goose,
yeah,
absolutely delicious. And so he does two big meat things. He does a goose, and then he does that, I think it's a Nigella Lawson recipe, the Coke-soaked ham.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
Those two, that's your double whammy,
yep,
yeah,
for your main course. And it is a Christmas, little Christmas miracle.
any secret with the goose? Does he do anything particular to it that's like...
He cooks it for... I mean, I think the technical term
he
is
cooks it.
Fucking ages.
Yeah.
Fucking ages. Like, it is in there for absolutely hours. Like, yeah. So I think it's something to do with whatever the
low
temperature.
And, low and slow.
Low
I guess.
And slow, yeah. But the Coke ham, which is another thing when he said to me, I was like, this is absolute nonsense.
Yes. Yes.
The Coke ham is delicious.
Well, that was a big thing. I remember when the Coke ham started.
Yeah.
Everyone talked about it. Everyone was like, have you heard this?
Is it a Nigella Lawson recipe?
I think it's Lawson.
Or it, as it in she popularised
like
it.
Yeah.
I think like it was like, that's when everyone started talking about it and it being this thing of like...
Yeah.
Because is it...
But it's just sugar still. So it's just branding. Put this out.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
it's
yeah.
very trendy.
Right, okay.
But it's just, I just don't want my grandmother listening to this.
Yeah,
and everyone banging on about the Coke ham. We all know that the best is just the brown sugar glaze.
Because that, so it must be, presumably it's achieving the same effect. It's an
exactly
easy way of
same
achieving
effect.
The same effect.
Yeah, but you can call it Coke ham and be all trendy.
Doesn't sound trendy, does it?
No, Coke ham sounds like Coke ham sounds like an unkind nickname for Piers Morgan.
This is a food podcast. Can we please not make this about your agenda?
this rivalry has got to stop between you and Piers Morgan. Calling him Gammon. Fine.
It's the sort of thing that I am instinctively against. And then
Piers
when
Morgan. We know this.
Yeah.
We're not on his side.
But as soon as you taste it, you're like, oh,
yeah,
to be fair, that is delicious.
I've not had it, but I can imagine it works.
Yeah.
Coke ham, goose, roast potatoes. Everyone pretends to eat the. Everyone pretends. Well, no, he makes Brussels sprouts and he has this real thing where he's like, don't worry, because Brussels sprouts are like small, hard farts. And he's like, oh no, not like you. The way I make them is delicious. And you're like, yeah, that is true. The way you make them is delicious. It's because he fries them with pancetta.
Right.
You're eating pancetta.
You're eating pancetta.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
eating pancetta with an unpleasant aftertaste.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Also, a little insight into Nish's mind there that he does think of everything in terms of fart.
Yeah.
How much is that going to make me fart?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts are disgusting unless they're fried in.
It'd be much more popular if he had a big bowl of bacon.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you're also having what can only be described as weapons to bait the Jewish and Muslim community, which is the pigs in black, like the sausages wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, pigs in black.
Oh, just them.
You're having those on the side as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, already... You've got three meats. I think if you whack a full bowl of bacon on there, it becomes unpalatable.
Well,
it's basically open to butchers at that point.
Yeah.
Does he put bacon on the goose to cook it? So,
no.
So that's what Ann Gamble will do.
Oh, that's Ann Gamble's move.
Cook the turkey for a long time with strips of bacon on the top.
Oh, does the bacon get
to keep it moist? And it goes so crispy. And then, like the last half an hour, she'll take off what is now essentially a hat of bacon and put the turkey back in to brown the top a little bit.
But
what happens to that bacon?
Well, that goes in Ed Gamble's mouth before we sat down.
You wear it as a hat.
So, yeah, wear it as
and
a hat.
You eat it while you're watching the Queen's speech.
Yeah, I try to eat in my own hat.
Bacon bits off.
It's like the bacon equivalent of the foam dome.
Yeah. So that'll happen. I'll eat the blimmies. And then and then while I'm waiting still, because I've had a glass of champagne, I'm feeling a little tipsy, yeah. I'll be eating the bacon hat. And then
right.
And then we'll sit down and then I'll eat a full meal.
What do you drink with the full meal?
Red wine.
Red wine. Mm-hmm. Christmas mm-hmm. red wine.
And I'm into wine. The thing I'm in charge of for Christmas
yeah.
is the cheese, sorry yeah. James, and the wine.
Yes, I've seen your wine order at Christmas and it is positively Gaelic.
Well, quite often it's just me and my mum for Christmas and she doesn't really drink red wine. Right, so one would argue that sort of 16 bottles is too much.
No, I've been there when yeah. we're just celebrating me breaking up with someone. So
I've got to go to the shop for more.
The birth of Christ. I'm sure I'll get some, 16 bottles.
Yeah, I remember your wine order when we had a Christmas party a couple of years in a row when we lived
did.
Together. And the wine order was impressive.
Yeah.
It was really impressive. Do you remember what my one job was for the Christmas party food?
Oh, I don't remember what
it was. Chopping the bread.
Chopping the bread.
And the fact he calls it chopping the bread yeah. will make you realise quite how good he was at that.
I got taken off the task. Yeah.
Chopping the bread.
Chopping the bread.
Chopping the bread, Nish.
I had one job, got sacked.
Yeah, one job that you didn't know the proper name of. Chopping the bread.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're like
my
Bruce
job
Lee.
Was grating the yeast. I don't know. I don't know
slicing bread.
I don't know your technical terms.
Chopping it like you know karate.
Oh, so it's sliced. Oh, yeah. That expression is the best thing since chopped bread.
But you're a good laugh. That was your
I'm
main
a good
job.
Laugh.
That was
that
your
was
main
my job,
job
at the Christmas party.
Yeah. Yeah, great
but
laugh.
Yeah, you go hard with the wine orders. It was
oh,
great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing in the world as a host is to run out of booze.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Which we... Never was a problem.
Never a problem.
Because you can always just, yeah. when everyone's got home, you've still got booze for a few.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the good thing. The other night, I ordered myself a Thai delivery, and I realised I didn't have any beer or wine in the house. So I had to eat it with a gin and tonic, which, let me tell you, does not work.
Very interesting use of the term, had to.
Yeah.
Had no choice but to make a gin and tonic and eat it with a Thai meal.
That
no,
use
sir.
Is stretching the meaning of had to its yeah. absolute logistical limit.
Well, what
limit.
Are my other options?
Really backed into a corner there.
What are my other options? Go to the shop
yeah.
or not drink.
Some people would have tap water or something like with it, yeah. or like a drink that isn't
some
alcohol.
People would have tap water, I suppose, if they were living in Victorian times. They're a little mouse.
Yes, that's you're thinking of the mice in Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I knew you were. I knew you thought about Victorian times, yeah. and your brain went back to Victorian times, and all you could remember was the film A Muppet's yeah. Christmas Carol and the mice in the wall who sing No Cheeses for Us Mises.
Yeah, that's you, No Cheeses.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I absolutely love that. Every time we've had a conversation about Victorian England, in your head, you're picturing Michael Caine and yeah. Kermit.
No, yes, there were tough times actually. Victorian times.
So you have turkey with a bacon hat.
Mm-hmm.
What's your main course for Christmas?
We've today? Always had a different. It's a different meat.
You change
every
it up
year.
Every year.
So we've had turkey, we've had goose, we've had guinea fowl, we've had beef, we've had ham.
Christmas beef.
Yeah, wow. we've done it all. So it's been different every single year. I don't even know what we're having this year.
I mean, I should also give a shout out to my girlfriend's parents who are American and Canadian. Mm. And for Thanksgiving, the turkey on Thanksgiving is.
Don't
impressive.
Don't even talk
absolutely.
About Canadian Thanksgiving at your girlfriend's house.
Why?
You know why. Every year I want to get invited to this Thanksgiving party.
Well,
every single year.
But you don't want to get invited for the right reasons.
I do want to get invited for the right reasons.
But you want to get invited because Nish has to do a song though, right?
That may or may not be part of it. I want to see Nish sing a song. Is that so bad?
Yeah, but no, but you're not there for the spirit of Thanksgiving. You're there
yeah,
to
you're
laugh
there
at
to
your friend
me.
Being earnest.
I'm giving thanks for Nish's singing. It's funny.
You're there to see me and my girlfriend sing a song.
Yeah. I'll give him thanks for bullying. and taunting. I want to go so much.
I made a leftovers sandwich last year that I'm so proud of that I put a picture of it on the internet.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Moly.
It's every leftover you can imagine, but we're going nice white bread, toasted on one side. The inside.
The inside, okay.
So you get the experience of like a soft bread sandwich.
Yes. Yeah.
And the toast. And the toast inside keeps in the moisture.
Right.
I think I maybe want a bit of mayonnaise, right?
Yeah.
Stuffing, pigs in blankets, turkey, cranberry sauce. And then I did a moist maker.
You did a moist maker like Ross Geller?
He actually did a moist maker.
I did a moist maker. Another slice of bread soaked in gravy.
Soaked in gravy.
In the middle, and then same ingredients. I think I may have put some Brussels sprouts. I definitely put parsnips and carrots in the next bit. More turkey, more stuffing. And then another half-toasted piece on the top.
How did it taste?
It was the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, so the moist maker is actually good. I don't know anyone who's actually tried the moist maker.
Oh, it's amazing.
The moist maker, for anyone who is not listening but does not know, is something that Ross Geller does in Friends.
Gets him put on sabbatical.
Yeah, because he gets really angry because someone eats his sandwich.
But I'm going to try it now, because I just thought just a funny little line in Friends, not a real thing.
Imagine a gravy-soaked slice of bread in the middle of a sandwich.
Great.
Yeah.
Can I just draw attention to the behaviour of our friend Joe Williams? Because we once went to a Friends-themed Christmas party. I obviously went in costume as alternate reality Chandler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Backwards baseball cap.
Yeah.
Shirt and T-shirt.
Yeah.
And she decided to make one piece of food from the Friends oeuvre.
Yeah.
Could have gone. Turkey sandwich with a moist maker. Yeah. Mm. Nah.
The trifle.
Beef trifle. Yes. she made the beef trifle.
Beef trifle.
Yeah. And now I don't eat beef, so I didn't partake in it. But everyone else did confirm it tasted like feet.
Now, normally we do a side dish.
Yeah.
Have you got one prepped for it's Christmas dinner?
Roast potatoes.
You've already got a lot of side dishes there.
You've got to have roast potatoes with your Christmas dinner.
And is this cooked by the same person?
Yeah, at Christmas.
Does he make the best roasties?
He makes excellent roasties. The roast potatoes at American-Canadian Thanksgiving at my girlfriend's house are also phenomenal.
Oh, yeah?
Really phenomenal.
They give you enough energy to sing a little song?
They give me enough energy to sing a little song.
What did you sing this year?
I didn't sing this year. What? I just played the guitar for my girlfriend to sing.
James isn't sure. Imagine if that's the year you went and Nish didn't sing. You'd be livid.
The last 2 years, I've just played the guitar.
Why?
And who? Whose request?
At mine.
But you once sang Dink's song together?
Yeah, that's true.
I'd like to have seen that. What song was it this year, though, that you played guitar for?
It was a Simon and Garfunkel song. The, was it 125th Street?
Oh, the 54th
Street. I've forgotten the song.
The Hey Lamppost, What You Know.
Hey Lamppost, What You Know. Yeah.
Our producer, the Great Benito, would like to know why you sing a song.
Yeah, it's interesting that neither of you, I mean, this is the Great Benito just doing his basic job.
Yeah.
Seeing three people who all know what the story is and trying desperately to open that out to the listeners.
Sure.
They do party pieces.
Right.
At American Canadian
The Open Spot gig?
No, not...
Well, even more of an in-joke there.
Just as we try and make it less obscure.
For the listener, when
Tom Webb goes...
for the listener, when we started out in stand-up, a comic called Tom Webb ran an open mic gig called Party Piece.
And now he spends every Thanksgiving with Nish's girlfriend.
Yeah. just introducing people.
I cannot emphasise... It's nice to look in Ben's eyes and see the phrase, this is going to get cut. They do party pieces.
I never look at him because that phrase is there a lot.
They do party pieces at American-Canadian Thanksgiving. So you can do something, but it can't be related to your job in any way. It just has to be a
Well, you could do some comedy.
Yeah.
Because
it's not related to your job.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just pointing out that probably wouldn't be... It'd be a bit of a buzzkill at Thanksgiving and get up and... shout angrily about Brexit. Yeah.
So yeah, people do people sort of play games, mm-hmm. people do readings, and
if you let me go and I'm invited, I can't just sit there and laugh at you. I have to do something as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm, you know.
But also, you know, if you invite James, you have to invite me as well.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would do a little party piece.
Listen, I can't just... I'm not in a position to just start inviting people to Thanksgiving.
Well, then we'll have our own Thanksgiving.
You know, like the Pilgrims invited the Native Americans.
Yeah, and how did that end for the Native Americans?
But that's us, right?
Yeah.
We're the ones being invited. Yeah. Happy to take that risk.
I don't think you know enough about the history of Thanksgiving to be.
That's because I've never been invited to Thanksgiving, Nish. Maybe I know more about Thanksgiving if people would invite me to the parties. But as it is, I'm happy to wing it.
Why don't you ask my girlfriend? You do know her.
I've asked her.
What did she say?
She ignores it. She ignores it. She carries on doing whatever we're doing, whatever we're talking about. She ignores it, moves on.
She knows what's going on.
Acts like I haven't even said it. I'll come along and do some juggling.
You can't juggle.
I can. Well, no, I can't.
Yeah.
But I can learn something.
So roast potatoes on the side. Do you know how they're cooked? In what in particular?
Oh, my cousin does them in the goose fat.
Yes.
That's how he gets crunchy.
Also, my girlfriend's mum makes very nice roast potatoes as well. And it's been since revealed to me that she uses Michael Caine's recipe.
What?
So he did an interview for a national newspaper where he revealed his perfect way of cooking roast potatoes. And a lot of people have taken that on as how to cook them. So it's to do with, like, I think also Delia has a similar way as well, but you parboil and then really shake about, so you make them really fluffy on the outside.
Right.
I think it's something to do with the surface area, so more fat can cling on and they can be even crispier if there's like flakes coming off at the side and stuff.
Mm, right.
And then cooking them in goose fat.
Wow.
You know, I'm paraphrasing Michael Caine there, but you know, that's...
You're only supposed to cook the bloody taters.
That it was going so well. I was so on board with it as a premise. And I thought, Nish is going to nail this. There's going to be like a little pun, like a semi-pun at the end that is going to be perfect. But you went with, you're only supposed to cook the bloody taters.
A drink for the gentleman.
I will be drinking a glass of Malbec with my dinner.
Up top.
There they are.
Yeah.
The red wine boys.
First time that's happened on the show.
The boys.
The Malbec brothers. Yeah. Here they come.
The Malbecums.
Victoria and David Malbec.
Posh and Malbec. There they are.
Posh.
It works, because Ed's posh. Yeah. It works. Posh and Malbec.
Posh and Malbec.
Perfect.
I love it. And like on Christmas, there's often, I'll have a, you know, some sort of Prosecco thing.
Before the meal?
Before the meal, yeah. Before the meal. But then, red wine with the meal. And then immediately after the meal is finished, quite a strong coffee to prevent me from immediately falling asleep.
Yes. And I imagine that has other effects as well.
Yeah, yeah, it clears the system.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite a strong coffee, or as you call it, a swift dump.
A swift dump.
That's how you think of everything. So, yeah, have a swift dump, please.
A panic dash. Yeah.
Do you not want to fall asleep directly straight after Christmas dinner? I quite like
it. No, because like, normally if I'm here, it's a sort of opportunity, my sort of extended family's there, and so... It feels slightly antisocial to... I mean, my cousin often goes and has a nap, but nobody really says anything to him because he's been doing all the cooking.
Sure.
But very often, you know, that's the time you want to be having some sweet chats.
My granddad just goes to sleep straight after Christmas dinner, and to be fair, we were all very angry with him.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and my brother and sister would be like, Granddad, I've got to go to sleep now. Oh, it's Christmas Day. Sleeping through Christmas. And he would take ages to get ready in the morning, and that would make us furious. We'd be waiting by the Christmas tree. All you want to do is open a present, all you can think about, and he's having a goddamn shave. Like, what are you doing? Why are you shaving? Like, where do you think we're going?
Clean for Jesus.
Yeah.
I started my own Christmas tradition a couple of years ago of having a run before breakfast
on
Christmas Day. Which really... You. Run, not a rum.
Oh, I thought you said a rum.
I go for
a Christmas rum.
Christmas rum. Just wakes up and has a...
Which does not go
spice.
Down well if people have to wait for their breakfast if I'm out having a run.
Yeah, yeah. Please.
But it really sets me up for the day. I'm very hungry for the whole day if I go for a run.
I'm very hungry for the whole day anyway.
Yeah, very selfish. Yeah, going on the little selfish Christmas run so that you're hungry all day.
Only time I've ever slept after Christmas dinner is when I wasn't very well and my grandma said, I've got these pills that really help if you've got quite a bad cold. They'll just help clear your head. Mm. She gave me a pill and it just knocked me out. And then
was it a whole honey glazed ham?
It was a whole honey glazed. So since then, we've had a running joke where we refer to her as a drug dealer, a drug she does not enjoy.
She would take that seriously.
Yeah.
She does not like it.
It was also, it just came out of a handbag with no packaging. I mean,
she just gave it to you loose. It was loose. It was a loose pill.
Yeah, my grandma roofied me. That's what.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Nish, we come to the dessert. As you know, what I refer to as the King's Meal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've never referred to it up until this point.
As the King's Meal.
Well, it is. That's what I called it.
Please say you're going to have cheese, Nish.
Nish, let me give you an advance warning. If you say cheese for Christmas dessert, I will kill you on this podcast. Everyone will hear that I will go to prison for it.
I would. No, I don't have cheese. I don't have a cheese board after a Christmas dinner. But you're also going to hate this. What I have for Christmas dessert is what we all have, which is a grudging piece of Christmas cake. I do not like Christmas cake. We have it every year. No one ever eats it. Yeah. We only have it so we can set fire to it. We only have it for the fire pudding, bit at the beginning.
Are you setting fire to the cake?
Oh, sorry, Christmas pudding. Sorry, Christmas pudding.
You're setting fire to the cake. I would absolutely love it if your family misunderstood the tradition and set fire to Christmas cake every single year. That would make my Blimmies faux pas look very small in comparison.
What is Christmas cake? Because I'm not sure I've ever had it.
Okay, it's a cake.
Yeah.
But it's like very dense. Doesn't have to be covered in... The one I have is not covered in marzipan and icing.
Okay.
Is this your way of saying that you have Christmas cake?
Dense, fruity cake. No, I wouldn't have that for pudding. It's too dense.
Because Christmas pudding...
Pudding is very dense as well, but it's like round.
Do you love it?
I absolutely love it.
I've come round to it in later years, you know. As long as you've got brandy butter.
Brandy butter and custard at the same time. That's what I have on it.
But again, this is... I believe custard to be the... pancetta to Christmas puddings, Brussels sprouts. I think whenever I've enjoyed Christmas pudding, it's because it's been absolutely drowned in custard. I think what I actually wanted was a big bowl of custard.
I think we found the first slogan for our merch on the front of the t-shirt. I believe custard to be the pancetta to Christmas puddings, Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. That's a catchy slogan for the t-shirt. Put that on there.
Don't have it then. This is a dream restaurant. You don't have to have Christmas pudding.
So what I would really love is a pudding that no longer exists. One year when I was here and I'd been to my parents' house for Christmas, I then came back to central London.
Mm-hmm.
And in between Christmas and New Year's, I had a peach cobbler at a place called Jackson and Rye.
Yes.
And they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's my favourite dessert, and I've stopped going to that restaurant.
Yeah.
I refused to eat there until they reintroduced the cobbler. It was a peach cobbler, and they used to have vanilla custard with it.
Yeah.
And it was so goddamn delicious.
Yep. I've seen you eat that cobbler.
Yeah.
I've never seen you eat the cobbler.
Absolutely love that cobbler.
He loves it. I see him eat that cobbler. He was so happy about it. He was talking about, you know, when someone is on their way to a place to eat.
Yeah.
And instead of just like, they're so excited about what they're going to have.
Yeah.
But they can't just talk about normal everyday things. Like, all they can talk about is the cobbler.
Yeah.
So all he was doing was walking through London talking about the cobbler. Yeah. and how much he loves the cobbler.
Yeah.
And then he sat down and ate it. And there was, in no way was it an anticlimax for him. It was exactly, it was just as good as he always remembered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the saddest day was when it, because it was close to refurbishment.
Yeah.
And then it opened again.
And
then he was like, let's go. It's back. I remember going in with you and they didn't have the cobbler anymore. And instead we just sat at a table and had some drinks. And there was a table near us, I think, who were quite loud.
Yeah.
So like the whole vibe of the place had changed. Yeah. And it was a sad day.
It was a sad day.
Did you ask them about the cobbler?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, but immediately.
Yeah.
They said, oh, we've changed the menu around. And I was like, well, why don't you change this menu to say, go fuck yourselves?
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, because like 1 year
that was after. A strong reaction.
After
so when you say you don't go there anymore, is it because you're bad?
I'm allowed there. Yeah. And they started doing the cobbler again. I love it. It's really good.
But yeah, one Christmas, I was back. I'd come back from spending the time with my family between Christmas and New Year's. And New Year's Eve, we had dinner at Jackson and Rye. Before we went to some New Year's Eve parties, and I ate the cobbler, and I was like, this is the greatest New Year's ever. Yeah. I love the cobbler. It's dynamite cobbler. Dynamite.
What set it apart from other, like, is there something that, have you had other cobblers before?
I've had a couple of other cobblers, but so not in America. Cobbler? I think this is the problem, is that I haven't had a cobbler in America.
Cobbler's like a sort of deep south dessert.
Yeah, it's a very American dessert.
Yeah.
But so I think I need to, I think it's, I've not had the real stuff. Cobbler is like, how would you describe it?
It's almost like a crumble, but with a different topping,
it's,
right?
It's less crumbly.
Yeah.
So imagine like a crumble that is just like that topping as like more of a rock face than a sandy beach.
But it's like, it's sort of like a soft cake. It's kind of somewhere between a cake and a crumble.
Cake pastry crumble.
That's right, yeah. That's what it is, yeah. And then the piece of fruit underneath it.
Stewed fruit, like.
Peach, delicious peach.
Delicious.
Absolutely peaches. Amazing. And then the vanilla custard is the like, that's an example where it's like the equivalent of putting pancetta on just,
Brussels.
Oh, no, because the
both already. Are considered. Yeah, yeah.
It's like putting pancetta on bacon. It's like bacon fried pancetta.
Yeah, sure.
It's delicious.
That's the everything, back of the t-shirt.
Everything is delicious.
It's like bacon fried pancetta.
And then custard on peach cobbler is like bacon fried pancetta.
Yeah.
It's the most, it's everything is delicious.
Made with real vanilla pods, the vanilla custard?
I didn't ask.
Is there black bits in it?
Yes, there were black bits.
Yeah, then it's made with real vanilla pods.
Always got to use the real pods. Delicious.
Absolutely delicious. What a dessert.
Oh man!
Because it is good to have a Christmas dessert, but Christmas pudding is like, I cannot get on board with it. The thing is, it's too fun to not do, and so every year that we did it, my parents were like, my aunt and uncle were like, let's stop doing it, and then everyone's like, yeah, but at the beginning it's like, woo.
I mean, you could just set a plate on fire.
But there's something really satisfying about the way it, like, it's like, woo, it's on fire, but it's not on fire. Woo,
it is on fire.
It is on fire, but it's not in a bad way.
You could do something.
Right, I see what you mean. You could replace it
with a different. You could set fire to like an effigy of Piers Morgan.
Yeah, Merry Christmas,
and all.
Just eat that bundle of sticks.
Rejoice in it.
It's pretty cruel, Nish, for your dessert. You've described it so eloquently, and you've painted a real picture, and I can almost feel like I can taste it. But it's been discontinued.
Discontinued.
Well, now you know how now you understand my pain.
You've given everyone your curse of the peach cobbler.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jackson and I have not had the courtesy to put the recipe online. Some places do that.
Right.
There's a place called Honey Trap in New Zealand, in Auckland, and they did the best beef brisket sandwich I've ever had.
I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah.
With this red cabbage coleslaw and these amazing pickles in them. And then they stopped, they all shut, but then they put the recipe online.
Yeah.
So me and my girlfriend at the time were able to have a go at properly making it on New Year's Eve. And
well, I think Nish needs this peach cobbler. So, listeners, I want you to tweet Jackson and Rye.
Yes. Let's make this happen.
Hashtag bring back the cobbler.
Bring back the cobbler.
But not the Adam Sandler film.
Okay.
Bring back Kumar's cobbler.
Bring back Kumar's cobbler.
And petition to rename it Kumar's cobbler.
Yeah. So bring it back and put it on the menu. They've got to name it Kumar's cobbler.
We know you're listening out there and we know you like to get involved. Tweet Jackson and Rye. Jackson the traditional way and the traditional way. R-Y-E.
Yes.
Jackson and Rye, bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
Based in London, Soho.
Bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
Bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
The Twitter handle is @JacksonRye. Tweet them, bring back the peach cobbler.
Bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
It's going to be really funny if, since I last went there and checked, which I did do periodically for a time, they've now brought back the cobbler.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you can still change the name.
Yeah, change the name to Kumar's Cobbler.
If it's back on the menu...
Yeah, great, thank you.
Make them change the name to Kumar's Cobbler.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
At Jackson Wright, tagging at Off Menu Official as well. So
that
we
would
can
be a Christmas
get
miracle.
Something going. A real Christmas miracle. Bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
Also, I think before at this point in the podcast, I'd normally read your order back to you, make sure you're okay with it.
Yeah.
But before we do, I think, because it hasn't come up organically, but I think having you on this podcast, it would be remiss of me not to let you just vent about my Nando's order before we finish.
God, the Nando's order.
It's food-based and Nish really hates my Nando's order.
Your Nando's order? Mm. This fucking state of it.
Yep. Yep. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm just going to let you go for it.
Good Christ. Cheese and pineapple?
Yep.
Cheese and pineapple?
Yep.
It is goddamn wrap.
In a wrap, yep.
Cheese and pineapple in a wrap.
For me, getting a wrap at Nando's is unforgivable.
Getting a wrap at Nando's can already go fuck itself.
Yeah.
What? How are you gonna make it even worse, Nando's order, when you've already got fucking wrap? Oh, I don't know. I'll pop some goddamn lemon and herb chicken in there.
No, not lemon and herb.
Sometimes medium.
Always medium.
No.
Sometimes hot.
Sometimes it's lemon and herb if you have a gig after. If you have a gig after.
No, that's not true. Medium always. If I've got a gig.
Fine. Medium chicken, or as I like to call it, Whitey Plus, right? he's ordered Whitey Plus heat. He's put it in a fucking wrap.
Crazy.
And then he's added, oh, do you know what? Let's put some cheese in there. Nando's is famous for its dairy products. That's already, if you don't mind me saying, an abomination against God and man.
Yes.
But then to put the liltest of all the fruits.
A trip to Hawaii.
To put goddamn pineapple in your goddamn shitty wrap. F me.
The liltest of all the
fruits. F me in the A.
So you would like still water to start. Some poppadoms made by your grandmother.
Thank you.
You would like some lamb kebabs from the...
Alan the Pussycat.
Alan the Pussycat.
The shack out the back of the
shack out the back of the shack.
You would like some goose cooked by your cousin with the coke-soaked ham as well.
Yeah.
Roast potatoes on the side. You would like a glass of Malbec, posh of Malbecs. And you would like the Jackson and Rye Kumar's Cobbler.
Bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
Bring back Kumar's Cobbler. That sounds like a delicious Christmas meal.
It sounds fantastic.
It was, I mean, it's like, our family dynamic has changed a lot. Because when I was a kid, my grandmother used to make a turkey and a full pork curry for my dad and uncle. Because they said it would, quotes, block them up for a month if they had to eat a full turkey. And so my grandmother would genuinely make them a pork curry. And they would, like, have one spoonful of turkey and be like, mmm, delicious. And my grandmother's Christmas pork curry was pretty impressive stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Nish.
Thank you very much, Nish.
No problem.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to us all.
Season's greetings.
Season's greetings. Bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
Ho, ho, ho. That was Nish Kumar on the Off Menu podcast.
What a delicious Christmas meal.
What a delicious Christmas meal. What a lovely guest. It's a pleasure to have him here. And I feel like we should plug his tour because he was such a nice Christmas boy.
You talk about his tour that's called It's In Your Nature to Destroy Yourselves.
I am. Well done, James. You didn't need to learn that before we started recording at all. So that starts on the 25th of January.
All around the UK. Do not miss it. Whoa, he's at the top of his game, this boy.
But even more important than plugging his tour is to get Kumar's Cobbler back on the menu at Jackson and Rye.
Hashtag bring back Kumar's Cobbler.
Tweet at Jackson Rye. Do also tag in at Off Menu Official, which is our Twitter handle, because it might get confusing. Feel free to also explain maybe what the tweet's regarding. Say we'd like to see the peach cobbler back on the menu.
Yes.
Hashtag bring back Kumar's Cobbler, because otherwise it would be very confusing for the person who runs the Twitter account at Jackson.
Maybe you want to say, hey, We'd like to see that peach cobbler back on the menu, and so would Nish Kumar.
Yeah, do it. We're going to get that. We're going to get that goddamn cobbler back on the menu. For now, I'm also on tour at around the same time. I start at a similar time as Nish. So if you've got to buy one ticket, Nish is very good. But edgamble.co.uk is where you can, if you've got a bit of spare cash.
Yep, I'm on tour next year. I'm a nice boy.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
James does his own PR. Merry Christmas. Subscribe, write a nice review, and we will see you in the new year for another Off Menu podcast.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.